May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is the third Sunday of Easter, and we continue to think about what happened to Jesus and his disciples after his death and resurrection on Easter Day. I don't know if it's the same for young people today, but in my generation, already from a young age, my friends and I had an awareness about something greater out there, something invisible, something powerful. And so sometimes you'd hear a question like this: do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts? Well, the ghosts that I heard about when I was a young boy in church, we had the Holy Ghost. And the second ghost was Casper the Friendly Ghost. Very different ghosts indeed. So you may have grown up in that type of liturgy with an older expression, Holy Ghost. Nowadays we tend to say Holy Spirit. They're definitely not the same thing, not in the same category. But it is interesting to notice that in the New Testament, Jesus' disciples thought he was a ghost more than one occasion. Jesus does amazing things, and so his disciples thought that this could not be possibly be a human being. He must be a ghost or a spirit. For example, one time his disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, and they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. In today's passage in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus comes and surprises the disciples. And something similar happens. Jesus surprises disciples with a visit, and they think he is a ghost. So let's explore this passage together. In this passage in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus not only shows that he is alive, but he also shows that he is not a ghost, not a spirit. He is unique, being fully human and fully divine. Now, can we truly understand that? Can we fully grasp that? It's very difficult. And I think that was exactly what the disciples were wrestling with. What is Jesus exactly? So let's have a look at what Jesus does to help them to believe what happened earlier that week of his resurrection and to understand what was going to happen next. So we will be rereading the passage, and I'll be commenting on it. Verse 36 says, "While the 11 and their companions were talking about what they had heard," that is, the events on Emmaus Road when Jesus appeared to two disciples in Emmaus, "Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" He just appeared out of nowhere. This was a bit of a surprise visit. His disciples were not expecting Jesus to show up like that so suddenly. And notice his disciples' reactions. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Sometimes it's helpful to imagine how people felt in the passages that we read in the Bible. Imagine how they felt. They were alarmed and really afraid. They could not believe that it was really Jesus. So it must be a ghost or some kind of spirit. How would you feel if you were there with his disciples? I don't know if you're the same, but I think I would be exactly like them. I'd be very afraid. But Jesus loves his disciples so much and wants to calm them down. Jesus' response to their fear and doubts. Jesus does two things to prove that it really was him. First, he shows them his hands and his feet and asks them to touch his body. It really is him. And he says, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. That's the first indication that he is not a ghost. Then he shows that he could eat, because a ghost cannot eat like humans can. And Jesus knew that his disciples would understand that as well. While in their joy, they were still disbelieving. Important note. And still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it in their presence. The second sign that showed that Jesus was not a ghost. It really was him. So after he had shown these things, he explains to his friends that the Bible spoke about him and about his role in God's plan. So in verse 44, Jesus says to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." That was the scriptures of those times, what we call the Old Testament now. He also helped them to understand this by opening their minds. We don't know exactly what Jesus did, but it seems to be a movement of the Holy Spirit, helping them not only to read the scriptures, but to understand them. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." With these words, he reminded them that he was indeed the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, and that it was not a mistake that he had to suffer. It was not a mistake that he had to go to the cross. It was a part of God's plan for the Messiah to suffer and then rise from the dead. But the story does not stop here. Jesus also tells his friends that something wonderful is about to happen. The news about Jesus, what had happened, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was going to be shared with other people outside the group of disciples so that other people could believe, also believe in him, and have peace with God. This is the next step in God's plan for the world, and Jesus' friends are invited to be a part of it. Verse 47 and verse 48 help us to understand this. Jesus goes on to say, "And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And he says, "You are witnesses of these things." Jesus says that his friends will be witnesses of this good news. So what is a witness? A witness is someone who sees something or hears something and then tells others about it. In fact, Jesus' friends became the first missionaries because they told others what they saw and what they heard. So Jesus' friends learned these two things in this special visit from Jesus. The first thing they learned was Jesus is much greater than a mere spirit. He is indeed God and can do far more than they can imagine. The second thing they learn is that Jesus had a mission for them to share Jesus' greatness with others. Who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. So I'd like to invite you to think about what you can take from this passage. What are some things that we can take with us into the coming week? I think this passage also invites us to think about two things. The first one is, how can we grow in our understanding of God's greatness? God's greatness, how can we grow in that? And how can we also grow in our understanding of our role as witnesses of God's greatness? Our understanding and our role as witnesses of God's greatness. I don't know if the same is true for you, but I need to be reminded regularly how great God is, and not to bring him down to our level. Sometimes we don't think that God is as great as he actually is. There are a lot of things that I would like to be, but I will never be able to do. So on the slide, you'll see some great competition here. I will never be able to play football like Lionel Messi. As much as I'd like to, at 58, I have no chance. I will never be able to play the guitar like Andres Segovia. Never! And who's this other star? Andrea Bocelli. I'm sorry, folks, you'll never hear me sing like Andrea Bocelli. I will never get close to that. And some of you young people might remember this last picture. It was from last year's sermon about hippos. I will never have the power of a hippo. Amazingly powerful creatures. I have to face the facts of my limited nature. All of this is not going to happen. But what is it with God? God does not have this problem. He is different. He is different. He can do things that we cannot do. For example, in the four pictures here, let's just remember that he created the entire universe. That's not a bad start, is it? He created the planets and the stars. And our little but beautiful planet, the planet Earth. He created the seas, the rivers, all the animals, and people, human beings like us, who are exceptionally made in God's image. Jesus can also do another thing. He can die for our sins and come back to life. Jesus can do that. So what's the big deal? Why should we doubt that God can do something like that? If you're the Almighty God who is loving, you can do that. So let's take these things with us this coming week. Let us continue to discover how great God is. And secondly, tell others about God's goodness and greatness. Let's tell others how this makes a difference in our lives. As it was true for the disciples, I think this is also true for us. This is essentially the Easter message. So let us tell it to the world. Amen.